rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, big night of boxing at the Echo Arena on Saturday night. Several stories coming out of this one. Let's chat with Nick Pete from the Fight Disciples. Morning, Nick.
Good morning, sir.
Let's start with the main fight. Amir Khan. Look, I felt flat after, I have to say. I know the Echo Arena seemed to be giving a standing ovation, but it was a complete mismatch. That sort of fight surely shouldn't happen, Nick.
No, it certainly feels like that now. Obviously, going into the fight, Phil LaGreco, even though we all confessed he was a second tier fighter, you know, he's a guy who's fallen short in terms of challenging for the world title. He did only have a couple of defeats on his record, and they were against former world champions. Two of the three defeats were against former world champions. So we certainly expected a little bit more than what he offered. But I think anybody that was in the Echo Arena on Saturday, we enjoyed it. The atmosphere was incredible, Steve. But LaGreco looked absolutely terrible, let's be honest. He showed absolutely zero. I know the fight only lasted 39 seconds, but it was as if they just pulled him out of the crowd and put him in the opposite corner. It was like he'd never, ever seen Amir Khan fight in his life.
Yeah. You
know, I think everybody from the outside knows Amir starts really fast. He's got really fast hands, and he's really accurate. So you've got to try and, you know, you've got to come up with a game plan, which is moving your feet, getting out the way, and not letting them tee off on you. LaGreco just came and stood still. It was disappointing from that regard, but obviously from anyone that was in there on Saturday night, the atmosphere was incredible, and you felt like you were a little part of something as well. It was like, okay, Amir Khan's back, and he looks good. He looks sharp.
But Eddie Hearn wanted to make sure that he got through this fight, didn't he? As far as Eddie Hearn's concerned, the big money fight for him and his fighters is the next one against Kell Brook, so he couldn't take any chances. So is that why he's picked that sort of opponent?
I think, again, on paper, LaGreco, you know, you can say he sells as an opponent for Amir Khan. He's not that bad. He is second tier, but he's not that bad. But I think the problem was Amir was obviously super fired up. I think when you've been out of the ring for 2 years like Amir Khan has, and you've been on TV and you've got this whole new fan base, and it was like that the weekend. You know, there was a lot of people inside the Echo Arena on Saturday night that I would hazard a guess has never been to a boxing event before. They've seen Amir inside the jungle. They've, you know, got to know him on what they see as a personal level, and they like Amir Khan, the personality, and they've turned up to see what he does as a profession. And I think those people went away absolutely delighted and happy. Obviously, in terms of Amir Khan, he just needs to get back with a win. He wants to dust the cobwebs off and prove to himself and convince himself that he's still got something to offer the sport and he's still got a world title shot in him. For me, I don't know how true that is. The weight division that he's in, the welterweight division, is absolutely full of killers internationally. The Americans are so strong. I think I'm like you, Steve. He's got to go with super welterweight. He's got to fight Kell Brook in a stadium in the UK. I think both of them are former world champions, but they both struggle to win a world title now. But they'd make a fortune fighting each other. I just don't understand why it wasn't signed off at the weekend.
Always looks overweight to me, Kell Brook. You know, I was watching him doing his summarising, and I thought, well, he's the sort of fighter that after he's finished fighting, I think he'll struggle with his weight because he just seems to have excess.
He's going to do a Nav.
Yeah, absolutely. Prince Nassim, he's probably as similar as you get to him, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. I think he does like it. He does like some milk and cookies, put it that way. But I think Kelly, that's the crazy thing. They got Kelly in the ring afterwards, and they never did anything with it.
Yeah,
you know, that should have really been the big selling point. That was the opportunity to sell the fight. But you know, Tony Bellew was watching at home and shrugging his shoulders because that was the opportunity to get them nose-to-nose and get the stadium fight set up for summer. So, I don't know, Amir didn't seem like he wanted too much of Kell Brook at this stage. I think he feels like he's still got a world title fight in him. So we're going to have to wait and see, I think, for later in the year.
All right, lots of scousers on the undercard. Let's start with Sean Masha-Dodds. He just never got going, did he? In fact, I have to say, at the start of the fight, I was looking at Tommy Coyle and thinking, he just looks bigger. He looks more imposing in the ring.
Absolutely. I think Tommy Coyle, anyone that knows the journey he's been on, the kid from Hull, he's had a crazy career. You know, he approached this fight like it was his world title fight. He really did. And he's fell short on numerous occasions. One, of course, when he outboxed our own Derry Matthews, but Derry knocked him out in the 10th round when Tommy Coyle was well ahead on the scorecard. So, you know, from a non-Merseyside perspective, it was great to see Tommy Coyle finally get a belt wrapped around his waist and live up to some potential. But I think on the night, you're right, Steve. I think Tommy Coyle, as I say, he was focused in. He approached this like it was his world title fight, like it was his last fight ever. And I think I don't think Masha underappreciated what he brought to the table, but I do think that Masha felt like he would be able to feel his way into the fight, and it just didn't happen. Tommy Coyle started in fifth gear, Masha started in second gear, and Tommy Coyle's approach meant that Masha never really got out of second or third gear. So incredible chin Masha showed there. You know, he got dropped heavily early in the fight, and then obviously he got dropped heavily in the sixth round. Shows all the bravery in the world to get back to his feet where many people would have been fast asleep. But, you know, I think the best thing about it is Masha will come again, definitely, because he's realised now that he's certainly got the potential to go further than this. It just wasn't his night, Steve, you know, and sometimes that happens in the sport.
When you've been on the ride that he's been on, and seemingly he just was winning every fight, wasn't he, in sort of dramatic, long, drawn-out fights, but he was winning and winning and winning, and then all of a sudden you lose. Where does it put you at this stage, given he was the Commonwealth champion and he was probably in the back of his mind thinking, right, British title has to be next. Where does it place you now?
I think right now, obviously, he'd have to go away, and I'd like to see him in a, you know, in an international fight, maybe for an interim world title type shot. Maybe not next. Obviously, get a win, a quick win as soon as he can. Maybe hopefully for later in the summer. And then look to come back straight away with an international fight. I think it would be nice to see Masha get a world ranking, something he's not had yet in his career. And let Tommy go down the British title route. You know, there's the current British champion at weight class is a Geordie lad called Lewis Ritson, who looks absolutely frightening, Steve, to be honest with you. So let Tommy Coyle crack on with that route. And let's see Masha come back and, as I say, go for an international fight towards the end of the year.
One great piece of news, and he mentioned it in the ring afterwards, that his dad had cancer and he said he's beaten it. Presumably he's rung the bell on that one. I mean, I know his daddy comes in often. I was unaware he was suffering with any sort of health problems, but obviously there's been something emotional happening in the background there for Masha.
Again, it's just testament of Masha as a man and individual, you know, that he was able to continue through this fight camp, that he didn't pull out of, you know, this fight. Obviously, it was a great opportunity for him, being a chief support to Amir Khan and you know, in front of a packed-out Echo Arena. But it just shows that the zero focus he had. I don't know many people that would be able to continue with their work life, especially one that's so public and as his, when his father was suffering with throat cancer and going through his own battles, you know. But again, it brought a tear to my eye at the weekend when Masha was holding his son, who was dressed as
Absolutely.
Batman in the ring
yeah.
afterwards, and he was upset. And Masha's partner was standing just close to me, and she was fighting back the tears as well. But I think Masha, more than anybody, knows that this is a sport, Steve, you know, and sometimes you've got to take the rough with the smooth. He's been on a hell of a ride, and the ride's far from over, but we're just at the bottom of a trough at the moment. He's just got to climb his way back up the top of the tracks, and then we'll go again.
He's an amazing man, and you've got to say, in sport, it's good to be a good loser as well as a good winner, and he's absolutely that. Other fights on the night. Anthony Fowler continues some devastating action.
Wow, what are we, you know, underneath Masha, we had six Scousers fighting at the weekend, both at the Echo Arena and over on the Carl Frampton Bill in Belfast, and we had six straight knockouts, Steve. Absolutely sensational. Anthony Fowler, of course, now went 6-0 with a second round knockout, body shot, unbelievable finish. Natasha Jonas claimed the WBA interim title, which means she's now world ranked. That was a seventh round stoppage against a French girl who was very strong. And Tom Farrell bounced back from his defeat with a third round TKO as well. So he's now back in the mix up for title shots. And then we had three first round finishes. Alex Dickinson and Sam Maxwell both finished in the first round in Belfast. Dickinson, 68 seconds. Maxwell, 56 seconds. But Craig Glover stole the show. He topped the lot. He was first on at the Echo Arena, so not many people got to see it. But he needed just 20 seconds to knock out his opponent. The cruiserweight managed by Tony Bellew. Craig Glover, no amateur experience, Steve. But I tell you what, everyone around this boy, especially Bellew, saying we can expect big things, and when you're knocking people out in 20 seconds, we've got to start paying attention to him.
Good lad, what a night of boxing. Right, who have you got on Fight Disciples tomorrow at 6:30?
Well, we're going to have Tony Bellew is going to be coming in. He's going to have a chat about obviously the David Haye fight, which is coming up now in just a couple of weeks' time. And of course, we're going to look back over the whole weekend, and we also are going to celebrate Merseyside's new ABA champions. It was the senior ABA championships at the weekend. We're going to have a breakdown of that tournament also.
Top man, Nick Pete, thank you very much.
The Kickoff with Steve Huthersall.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.